We're a mom and son travel duo.
Inspiring authors.
Sharing world adventures with you.
And inspiring dreams.
Bringing inspiration for creation to you.
Exploring the world and finding greatness.
We're here to energize your dreams and adventures through travel. Hey guys, we are back. Welcome to the Tiny Global Footprints Stories podcast. Yep. I'm your host, Deborah Hyla.
And I'm Jonah Siu.
And we are here with our favorite editor, author, yes, and our wonderful guest. Mm-hmm. Would you like to introduce who she is?
Yes.
Okay.
We have Marcy.
Woohoo! We're so happy to have you here, Marcy. Thank you for coming and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
We want to learn more from your expertise, which is why you're here. And so to start with, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your author journey thus far, that would be great.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, it's so good to be here and fun to see you. And yeah, just that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me. And letting me see you and Jonah. It's been a minute. So yes, it's so good to see your face. You light up a room. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm Marcy Pusey. And yeah, the things you said, I'm a publisher, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, but I'm a writer first, like in my soul and in my heart. And I think part of why I now help so many other people get their stories out is I've experienced firsthand the challenges of getting our stories out and the obstacles that we face, but also the importance of every person's story. And so I'm on a life mission to help each person find their audience with their story, because I know there's somebody waiting for their unique message. And so, yeah, I started young, just writing to understand my own world. It's just a way that I can process what's going on. And then I reread what I've written and go, oh, I see it now. I get it. And from there realized, wow, maybe what I'm learning through my own processing could help other people too. And so I took that from my private journals to a blog and then eventually to publishing and speaking and helping others do it. So that's a snippet of my journey.
Amazing. That's exciting. So how old were you when you first started writing?
Oh, I'm like two. Yeah. Yeah, Jonah, I started early. Whenever the first time, you know, they taught me to hold a pen or a pencil. I don't know. This is just a funny little story, but in high school, in my math class, we had to create something with shapes. Mm-hmm. It was like, must have been geometry or something. And I don't even remember the exact assignment, just that I'm an overachiever and I got to use shapes. So I came in with a children's picture book in like a photo album of all the geometric shapes that I had been asked to use. And I created a pet shop rhyming story where all of the illustrations were the geometrical shapes. And I thought, yeah, like only me, only, you know, maybe not. Like, it's just like me to take a mathematical assignment and turn it into
a children's
picture book. And that was, I still have it. I pulled it out one day and I was like, oh, I still have it. You know, the pages are kind of yellowed. It's one of those sticky albums from way back when. But yeah, the whole story is in there and it's pretty good.
Good.
So, when did I start? I mean, I honestly don't have an age, just because I think really as early as I knew how to put words down, I was processing my world through them. But professionally, where I began to pursue publishing specifically was around 2008, 2009.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that was like, I was brand new mother.
Yeah.
Watching my kids imagine, you know, watching their imaginations like unfold right in front of me, and all the dynamics of mothering and being a kid again and being, having life kind of slow down. Cause you know, newborns make us slow down quite a bit. And at that point I thought, man, I just need some community. And I wonder if others need some too. And how can I offer it through my writing and my words? And so I reached out to somebody who I knew was publishing, a published author, and said, tell me what you know, where do I start? And so I started with children's books, picture books specifically, because that's what my friend was writing. Mm-hmm. Even though in high school I had written the math project for the children's books, so clearly I had a connection. Yeah. But I really just kind of started with where I knew somebody doing it. And then from there I ventured out and now have written memoir, young adult, children's picture books, adult, nonfiction, and self-help. I mean, I'm just really genre diverse, but yeah. That's also kind of reflective of my heart for people and certain communities of people and the way that I try to support them.
And how many books have you written and published?
I just published my 19th book.
Wow.
On writer's block. So hopefully 19 books. I know, Jonah. I know. You're on your way. You're going to be there in no time. Just keep at it. And you got a head start on me. The kids weren't publishing when I was your age. And you have. So by the time you're my age, you'll be answering like, no, you're not 200.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess one question I guess a lot of people ask me, even as an author, is, hey, how did you get started? How do I get started? Is it expensive to, you know, write a book and publish a book? How hard is it? You know, these like starter questions, how do you usually answer those questions?
Well, when there's that many in a row, I'm like, let's get on a call. I offer consultation calls or here, join me in this community. I do a lot of master classes and webinars and trainings. So I am trying to educate and help people get some of those just really simple questions answered that are on the front end.
Right.
So is there a specific one of that flood you'd like me to answer?
No, yeah. So I guess I would want to ask, how do I get started? That's usually like, what tools do I use, or what are like your tips on that?
Yeah. So I usually say whatever is already working for you as far as tools. So if you're used to working in Google Docs, or you're used to working in Word or Pages, like wherever you're already, if you're used to working on a notepad, you know, and that's what feels comfortable right now, then start where you feel comfortable, because so much of it is already going to be challenging, right? Like, so don't make it more challenging than it needs to be. At some point, it needs to become a Word document. Google document works as well. And that's what a lot of editors will want in order to help you tighten up your book and strengthen it. So from a logistical place, like, just start with what feels comfortable and familiar and helps that flow go. And then as far as like the actual starting, like, okay, I have the tool, but now how do I get the words down? I say just start writing. Let your brain dump whatever it needs to dump, no matter how unsophisticated or crass even, right? Like, there's some people who are like, oh no, the thing's wanting to come out. Like, I don't want anyone to ever know that was in me. I don't want to know that's in me. but it's important that it comes out. And what I didn't say is that I actually went and got all of my education in psychology, counseling, and therapy. I'm a certified trauma and resilience practitioner, certified rehabilitation counselor. I do a lot of therapy inside of my story coaching work and my publishing work. And so when I say just write, I'm also thinking about what's happening in the brain and the importance of allowing yourself to say things uncensored. To know that the first words you put down aren't going to be the published words that you put on a shelf, but you have to allow it to come out in the form that it wants. And sometimes what comes out first is more like pulling weeds in the garden before you get to the harvest that you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
You have to get the gunk out of the way to get the good stuff. Well, I've got good news for you. You can delete anything
that you don't like.
Anything that you don't like. You can back up things you do like so they don't get deleted.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can burn papers in the fireplace if you're like, oh no, I don't want anyone to ever see this, but I needed to get it out, right? So I think there's just an awareness around, I can put words down and those aren't the words that are going to end up in the hands of readers. Yes, that is correct. That's what your brain needs to get you going. I mean, Jonah, I'm going to pick on you for a second, not pick on, but call you out.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? Because you've written books. Do you remember what it was like to try to get started and put the words down?
So yeah, it was kind of hard, like, to get the ideas to come to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it took me like a while, like, to process everything. And like, if when I would type it, I don't really like that. So then I would like delete it and like put something else that I like more. So yeah.
So you were able to sit at the computer and let yourself write things that you might not like.
Yeah.
And then delete them and then write words that you liked better.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right? And did you enjoy writing it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And now people get to read that book and And it went through a process, mm-hmm. right? Like you had to sit there yeah. and put the words down. But then you guys invited me to come along and mm-hmm. help strengthen it and use your words to be the best that they could be for your readers. And you did it. So listen, y'all, if Jonah can do it, you can all do it.
Yes.
As a 5-6-year-old, right? Because yeah. that's how old you were when you first did the first yeah. book. Yeah. So yeah. it can keep going, right? I think a lot of people struggle with coming up with ideas to become an author. They are like, oh, I have so many things I want to write about. But I always tell them, you know, sometimes things that they think is exciting might be for them personally, but you have to think of like your audience. Who is your audience? And they might not think it's interesting, right? So usually I'm always like, okay, tell me your story. And then how do you spice it up basically to make it more exciting yeah. for your audience is usually like the path I tell them to follow. And I feel like that's something you told me even like when I was getting started, because I was like, oh my God, this is exciting. We're traveling and I think people will be excited about it. But it's like, oh, but how do you make it into a story so people, other kids can relate to it? It's like, it shouldn't be just about Jonah in the book. It should be about other kids traveling and how can other parents and grandparents, relate to it. Yeah, exactly.
So good. That's right. I mean, the original drafts you sent me for a picture book were like thousands of words, right? Yeah. And so part of our role was like, how do we cut this down to something that is appropriate for the this generation of children who mm-hmm. have high distractibility and are used to fast-paced entertainment? And so then how do we take those thousands of words and pare them down into something that keeps them hooked page turn after page turn
and
not lose the integrity of your voice? Because that's the other thing too, is you want to honor the story that's there, but acknowledge exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Who's reading this? Like really busy, tired moms and dads, usually at the end of the day or right before nap time, where they're like, sleep. And so they're exhausted, right? Yep. And then kids who are like so squirrely. And so being mindful of who we're writing for, if it's for children, like you said, then it's also for the adults reading to the children. Or if it's for an adult that you're writing for, then what adds value to their life or experience? I could have written my memoir from just my own memory and said, oh, won't everyone just find this so exciting, like you said. Mm-hmm. But no, that people generally only care about what's going to, how it's going to help them grow or what they're going to get from it. So even memoir, in order for it to sell and be marketable, if that's your goal, we have to shape it in such a way that it creates the same kind of, I'll say, brain activity mm-hmm. that we get from watching a really good movie or from reading a really good fictional novel. We still have to be mindful of the human brain and then who's hosting that human brain. Is that the right way to do it? Who has that human brain and what their life is like, so that we can give them the story that really best serves them, because that's our goal.
Yeah.
We want our stories to be read and enjoyed. And if we're not intentional with how to get it readable and enjoyable to our audience, then they won't ever get the impact of it.
Very true. Very true. I agree with you 100%. Jonah has the next question for you.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
So one of my questions that I had for you is, mm-hmm. does writing energize or exhaust you?
Ooh, I've never been asked that, Jonah. I've been asked a lot of questions.
Yeah.
It energizes me. And you know what? I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
So most things in life kind of drain me. Mm-hmm. But I think when I'm writing, I'm getting to spend time with myself in my own head, which I can easily start to ignore in my life, where I'm helping so many other people all the time. I can lose sight of myself. And so, yeah, there's something energizing, Jonah, when I get to sit and spend time in my own head and be thinking of other people, because I'm usually writing for them also.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
How about for you? What's that like for you?
So usually I'm energized because like I'm just excited like to actually write the actual book and like get the ideas and so that other people could see and I could influence them.
And you do.
Thank you.
That comes out in the books.
Yeah.
No, so it energizes you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about writing? Being an author?
My favorite part is probably the writing part. Like thinking of the ideas. Like when you get the idea, like I get a good feeling.
Oh, I love that. And you know what, Jonah? We're not everybody is like us.
Yeah.
I have met people who have said, I would rather throw up than write. I would rather do anything else. And I'm like, what? And it's so cool to see how we all have different giftings and mm-hmm. I'll say even callings with our time on earth. And I think we can sometimes recognize what that calling is through the things that bring us enjoyment and energy, like you said. So I want to be doing the things that bring me energy and excitement.
Yeah, definitely.
So great.
That's amazing that you and what did you, I guess, learn from Marcy, I guess, about writing? Because I think you had an idea because we were writing together, right? Mm-hmm. Before we started writing. But then what were the things that you got from Marcy?
Like, I remember the last time that we talked to you, you gave us some, like, ideas.
Mm-hmm. That were helpful?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, to make sure, first, like, the writing part, to make sure that other people can relate to it. And then mm-hmm. also to make sure that it actually makes sense and you're not, like, all over the place.
Very true.
Yeah, and you're, like,
concentrated with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's I love it. I love it. I remember sending you back edits mm-hmm. and you spending time with those. And then you would give me your book back with the changes that you had made. And I could see how much you were understanding why we were doing the things. Not just, okay, Marcy said it, so I'm going to do it. But you were like, you just said it. Oh, I want this to be relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want it to be an influence. And mm-hmm. I could see in how you handled your own books, how much that mattered to you. And mm-hmm. that helped you put the work in to make it better and better. And now you've got these, like, both of you together, these incredible books that provide not just entertainment, but an opportunity for other kids to see themselves in your story. Like, I want to go to work with Dad. Like, I want to go to work with Dad. I mean, it's such a fun, creative story that you wrote, and now it's out there.
And it's something that you were interested in, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's another, I guess, what was the other question you were going to ask her?
So where do you get your ideas from, like, when you're writing?
Oh, okay. I get my ideas from the whole world all the time. I think, like, from eavesdropping, not on purpose, but maybe I'm in a grocery store and where I'm sitting somewhere and I hear people talking, from watching kids play, just listening in a conversation.
Yeah.
I think even, 2 days ago, I was sitting in a group of people and somebody shared a little story and immediately a book title came to my mind and I said, here's the title of your book. That's a great story. Sometimes I'll think in book titles. Sometimes it's just a concept. And sometimes, I think mostly just from listening and recognizing patterns and the things that people are saying or what they're looking for. I'm often listening for things that people feel maybe hurt about in some ways, because I know that hurt people are sad and it's hard to function in life when you're feeling sad. And yet when we can come and say with our stories, you're not alone. There's hope, or there's a place to escape with me for a little bit through my story, that I get to help somebody feel a little better. So I think I'm often listening for those kinds of things and thinking, okay, how can I help someone heal in some way or feel better in some way?
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I know I keep putting it back on you guys because you're just as much author as I am, but you've done that, you know, with your stories too. And it's mm-hmm. so great.
You can buy all of our Jonah's Global Footprints book series directly on our website at tinyglobalfootprints.com. That's also where you can find Jonah's own best-selling kids books. His new book, What Does Daddy Do All Day, just hit the bookshelves. The next chapter of Jonah's Global Footprints series will explore Eastern Africa. Join us on life's adventure at tinyglobalfootprints.com. I guess the other question that we get is publishing cost. because they're, oh my God, is it expensive? And
is it not that expensive?
Like, how do you do it? How do you even, you know, like they, well, one is also, you know, if you do, are you going with the traditional publishing or are you going self-publishing? And then once you say, okay, I'm going to go self-publishing, then it's like, oh my God, what's the price tag on that? And then they're like, so it's better to go traditional because I don't want to pay that cost upfront. So what's the difference between the two? And like when it comes to pricing and cost, what do you usually inform people?
That's such an important question. And tune in if you're hearing the question, because money for a lot of us is such a thing. We've got issues around it. Even today, I've been processing my own relationship with money and concepts of money and the way that childhood informed it. And it just can really run the car, so to speak, and get in the way of the things that we want to do in the world, right? If we let it. So two things I heard, like what are the costs and then the different paths to publishing. I was exclusively in the traditional publishing industry the first 7 years of my career. And since then, I've stayed very connected to the traditional industry, but I've exclusively helped people independently publish. And I love it. I even recently had interest from an agent and an acquisition editor for one of my projects. And I was a little bit contemplating it like, oh, this is kind of how we've been taught that our stories and our own authorship is validated. Like, does an actual established publisher want our book or an agent want our book? And I don't think that's where the validity should come. I think it should come from our readers.
Right.
Did we hit them in serving them or didn't we? But, you know, the traditional publishing industry, of course, is looking at numbers and statistics and trends and sort of thing. So I think ultimately it's your goal that will decide which path you take, maybe also your budget. But the important thing to know is that one has upfront costs and one has back end costs. And so it's really just sort of managing which costs you want to pay and when you want to pay them and how much of them you want to pay, right?
Right, right.
So, so for someone going through the traditional publishing industry, you don't generally have an upfront cost to publish, a financial cost, but in time, energy, those two things especially, because you're going to have to research what are different publishers looking for. How do they take submissions? Mm-hmm. Most of them require an agent. So you have to go find an agent first to accept you. So what agent is taking work like yours? And you're submitting all over the place and you're learning how to submit well and how to, you know.
And you get rejected with that, right?
100 times 100.
Like,
absolutely. And it can be years and years and years before you're picked up. But let's say, Jonah, like we got your book out pretty quick, right? Yeah. And it's beautiful. Some people who write children's books wait 3 years from the point of being accepted. Like their book is acquired and then they'll say, okay, it's going to be out in 2025. And so what do you do in the meantime? And when the industry talks about trends, we love this book because it's trending. Well, is it going to be trending 2 or 3 years from now?
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe, maybe not, right?
Yeah.
The way the back end costs with publishing is that if you get an advance, you know, in, before you begin to get royalties, and this will depend on a contract, but generally before you begin to get royalties, you've paid off any advance they've given you. So if they gave you money up front, that's basically a debt to them. You owe them back for that through the sale of your book. So you're going to have to, you know, sell, and you don't owe them money. They're taking a risk. So I don't want to miscommunicate and say, and if you don't sell enough books, you owe them the advance back. That's unless that's in the contract. That's not typically how it goes.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get any other checks from them until your book has sold enough to pay off that initial amount. And the agent takes a commission. The publishing house takes a commission. They have overhead costs and a team, you know, that they're financially trying to cover. And so generally, I know I heard this specifically for the children's book industry, the royalty that an author will get will be anywhere from 2 to 5%.
Yeah.
2 to 5%. And you're trying to pay off that advance if you got one with 2 to 5% of your royalty. I have friends who've published traditionally and never ever seen a check. Years, never.
Oh, wow.
Because of loopholes in the contract.
Yeah. And they take it out of the shelf, right? If it's not selling and if it's
and then
not
if it's
doing
not
well.
Selling, they'll pull it out of print. Yep. Yeah. And then it goes out of print and you're not even, you're selling, like whatever's left in the world printed is what's available.
Yeah.
I was just at a retreat recently with some traditional publishing professionals who were on a panel.
Yeah.
And even they were saying, you know, after 3 months, like after your book has launched, after 3 months, we're not really thinking about your book anymore. We're thinking about the next set of releases that is coming out. And so you as an author are responsible for selling your own book.
Oh, so it's the same as self-publishing. Then. Oh, it's kind of like, what's the difference same. Then?
Yeah. Well, there's not much. So like, what I'll tell you now about the self-published a little bit. You're watching our time. I want to be careful, but someone the other day said, well, I want to traditionally publish so that I can speak on stages. And the irony was that I was at this event as a speaker and I had multiple sessions. And I said, all of those books on my table out there, all the ones I brought are self-published. And I'm here and I'm a 2-time TEDx speaker and I speak all over the country and the world. And nobody's ever asked me, how did you publish those books? Like if your book is bringing value to a person, they don't care how I got there.
Yeah.
They're just so grateful that they have your words.
It's true.
So I heard that comment. So I quickly kind of was like, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
And then the other comment I get is, well, I just really want to be on the shelves of Barnes & Noble. I'm like, great. I am. Like, again, Barnes & Noble wants to make money, right? Yep. If your book is selling, they're going to put it on their shelf to make money. Mm-hmm. If you're marketing your book, it's going to do that. And we have access to the same publishing outlets, so to speak. So when I publish for an author or for myself, I'm putting our books in the places where libraries and retailers have access just like they would with the traditional industry. And so immediately, with no action on my part, my book is on barnesandnoble.com, Target, Costco, Chapters in Canada, like all over the world.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of misconceptions around what the traditional industry will do for you versus what you'll experience taking an independent path.
Yeah. It's like exciting for us to see our books in Barnes & Noble and Walmart and Target too. Like, you know, you don't think as a self-published that you have that opportunity or you'll be able to, you know, hit these big bookshelves, you know, but then when you do, it's like, oh, you know, I can do it too. And I think one thing also, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, when you self-publish or when you're traditional and between self-publishing and traditional, your work, like once it's out there, who owns your work?
You don't own it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I always tell them. I'm like, self-publishing is so much better in so many ways. And that's one big one.
Yeah. I have a friend who traditionally published, then her publisher ended up getting bought out by another publisher and the new publisher discontinued many of the books on that list and gave the authors a chance to buy back the rights to their own books so they could go publish. But like, they had to buy their own books and not inexpensively, right? They were being sold the rights to their own. Like this kind of stuff happens all the time. And we don't know about it. We were just taught like, no, the way to be validated as an author is to go the traditional route. And I'm not disparaging the industry. I think it's just changed a lot.
Yeah.
And that may be a path for someone who's like, you know, I'm not in a hurry. I really do want to not pay and I'm willing to not get a royalty if I get, I just want the experience, you know, but if it's for like validation, I think there's a cultural lie. Mm-hmm. I'll just call it a cultural lie that we've had about how to be, you know, validated. And then I know a number of highly successful traditionally published authors. Like I'm thinking Jane Yolen, I heard her one day, she had at that point published 365 books. You can read one per day for a year and never have to duplicate a book. And she said something one day a few years ago now about like, today I was at a conference and someone asked me to sign something and someone else said this or asked that. She said, today I feel like a real author.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, Jane, if you are the most prolific writer in the world and one of the most successful and you don't feel like an author every day, it doesn't matter how you publish.
Right. Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like an author?
Definitely.
Well, yeah.
You are.
Every day.
This concludes part one of our interview with Marcy Pusey. Tune in next time to hear Marcy's tips on self-publishing. Thanks for listening.